Well, good morning. Good to see everyone here. I know there's some out sick today, so we continue to think of them. And a lot of illness is going around as I've talked to people. It's not just our little area. It seems like it's spread across the state, at least, or in different places. So whatever is out there, it's blowing in the wind. So we pray that it'll just blow on out of here. And God is still in control. He still never left his throne and never given over his authority over to anything else. So we are grateful for that. We're in Philippians chapter 4 this morning. The last segment of this is what we're going to be looking at. We're going to finish Philippians this week. And then next week Mother's Day, so there'll be a Mother's Day thing for that day. Even though we're not having the barbecue till the following week, so we'll extend it. We'll begin next week and then extend it the next week. So, what a great week! So Philippians 4, verses 10 through 23 is where we're going to come. Again, we've been looking at this book through the lens of our key verse, Philippians 1:27. How many of you have somewhat memorized that verse by the end of the series here? Oh, man. There'll be a quiz next week. And a grade given. No. Anyway, verse 1:27 says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or in absence, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." I really like that as the key verse to Philippians, because I think it just, throughout the book, I hope you've seen how God wants us to walk with each other and walk individually and go. And this week, we're going to look at this thought process of partnering with God. Right? How many of you would like to partner with God? Right? Yeah, I think everybody's hand would go up whether we want to or not. But we're in church. We have to raise our hand, right? But we're going to look at it from that perspective. There's two key passages, verses that you probably recognize within this passage. One is 4:13. And it says, let me get to it here. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," right? And the other key passage is 4:19. You read on down a little bit further and it says, "And my God shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Okay? They're common verses. We tend to use them. Sometimes I dare to think we might take them a little bit out of context when we use them. But at the same token, they're commonly held. I don't know too many believers that wouldn't be familiar with those two verses, at least. And they're important verses for us to remember. There's power found in them. And it comes, as Paul reminds us again, that we're going to be walking in partnership with God. Right? You can't expect those verses to have any effect if you're not walking in partnership with God, right? They point to that. And so if you haven't turned to Philippians 4, we're going to begin in verses 10. I'm going to open in prayer first and let God take control of this mouth that sometimes can get out of control if I don't. So Father God, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity to come before your word. And again, I pray that your words would be spoken this morning. The focus wouldn't be on the external words of my mind, but on the eternal word of what we read this morning. And Lord, help us to be able to grow from it and help us to learn and continue to grow more in the image of you, that the world might see you through our lives. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. So beginning in verse 10, normally I'd read the whole passage, but I think we're just going to read verse by verse as we go through it today, okay? It says this, But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did not care, or that you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. One thing about partnering with God is attitude, isn't it? When we partner with God, we have to have the right attitude, having an understanding attitude toward others at times. Right? It can get really frustrating. Again, you know, we talked about the tensions, we've talked about things over time. So much of the struggle within our human flesh is attitudes toward others. And in whatever way people respond, whatever people do, the hurts we feel from people, whatever, it all creates attitudes within us. And sometimes we need to take a step back and have an attitude of understanding toward others, right? Sometimes the attitudes get adjusted because we miss the intent of what they were trying to say. We take something wrong. We hear something wrong or whatever, maybe past things that we thought we'd let go of. Somebody says something again and all of a sudden it comes back and you're right back where you were. And having the right attitudes. In Philippians, Paul, if you read that, they had cared for him, right? Philippians had again sent him a provision. That implies that at one time they were giving, but that provision had, for whatever reasons, fallen off, right? The Philippians who had been faithful in providing for him, not been able to. Right? And I can speak to this a little bit directly as a missionary to Frontier School of the Bible. We're dependent upon people's donations to us. And every once in a while, you realize somebody hasn't given. They give us a sheet of people that have given. All of a sudden, you go, boy, they were so faithful. What happened? Or you get a letter from them saying, due to our circumstances, we're not going to be able to continue to do this. And you can look at it from a straight ministry standpoint and go, oh, no. Why would they do that? Don't they care about what we're doing? Don't they love what we're doing? Aren't they behind us? Aren't they this? And you can allow things to build up. And reality is sometimes there are reasons behind it, right? Crisis comes up. They lose a job. Or we don't know. And we don't need to know. It's not ours. We just need to continue to trust the Lord and not build injury within that or an attitude against them for things. And Paul is demonstrating that so well. If you notice, Paul doesn't offer a rebuke and he doesn't offer a correction for him. Right? He just says, that's your care for me has flourished again. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. You had to quit for a little bit or whatever happened there. But boy, I'm glad that you're back with me. This is good. And Paul knew that regardless of the situation, he never doubted that they cared for them. And I think sometimes, especially as a missionary, again, speaking from my thoughts, never lose sight that people don't, that just because they can't support you or for whatever reasons they move their money or whatever is on their heart, I mean, God moves, doesn't mean they don't care for you. It's not a personal attack a lot of times. It's just that God has led them a different way and for whatever reasons and happens. Paul knew that. He didn't let those kinds of things affect his love and care for them either. And Paul knew the Philippians cared for him. Lack of giving is not reflective of the care for him. He loved the people regardless, for he knew their love for God and for him. One of the wonderful things that being on mission support we get to do, and sometimes we do it well, sometimes maybe not as well as we should, but we get to go and meet those and meet up with those that support us. And they get to, we get to know that their love for God. It's not, they love the ministry. They love what we do out here. They love the fact that we get to teach the kids or whatever. They're supporting us not just because of who we are, though some do. Some do it because they love us. Some do it because they love the ministry. And Paul, he just never worried about stuff like that. He didn't let that affect his love for others. And so sometimes having an attitude, partnering with God is just having an attitude of understanding toward others. He recognized in this case they lacked the opportunity. And so he moves on. He just kept going. Then you get to verses 11. Okay. And it's interesting, right? Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. He goes on to say, this is our verse that we all know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, regardless of the outward things that are happening. Paul has learned that it's not really dependent upon them. The appreciation is that they gave, but he learned how to be content in life. And that contentment comes from a love for God, right? And trust in God. I wish that everybody could experience at some point in time what it's like to be a missionary, to be fully rested in other people's giving, right? And in reality, even in the workforce, though we don't see it as often, we are kind of that way. If you got a business, you're trusting that people will still want to do business with you, right? If you're working for others in a business, you're trusting that business goes well so they can continue to keep you on the payroll, right? I've been in that spot where a company's had a downturn and they say, yeah, well, you're going to have to go, you know. So in a lot of ways, we're all dependent upon others. There's this movie, McClintock, with John Wayne. Anybody seen McClintock with John Wayne? Right? And he talks to this young man in that movie. And the guy goes, something, complaining about a job. And he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, basically, I'm paraphrasing deeply here. But he says, we all work for somebody. Right? He just tells him, you work for me. You do me, you give me hours, I pay you. But I work for the state of the United States. Everything I do, it comes from that. We all work for somebody. As Christians, we all work for God. Right? We trust him and all that. And Paul had that attitude understood. He partnered with God. His whole thing was really not even a partnership. It was a reliance, right? I get to partner with God in what I do and what we do here, what we do everywhere. We all do. It's a partnership with God. Paul was not dependent upon his situation. He had become content. His contentment came from that knowing that God was with him regardless of the situations in our life. Content, he says, whether abased or abounding. And I have to do the same thing I tell the kids to do a lot. If you don't know what a word means, look it up, right? How many of you are familiar with the word abased? How many used that this week in your conversation? We don't, right? So the word abased means to humiliate, belittle, demean, or disrespect, right? I know what it's like to be humiliated. I know what it's like to be disrespected or demeaned or belittled. That's what he's saying in that word. I know what it's like to be treated poorly in a lot of ways. Right? But he also knew to abound. Right? What does the word abounding mean? How many of you have used that word in your conversation this week? Right? We have an idea, right? We generally go abundance, right? And that's what it kind of means to be in a privileged condition. Right? Paul knew what it meant to have abundance. He knew how to be humiliated and disrespected, but he also knew the other side of that. People treating you well, treating you good, and being in that way. And regardless of his situation, it didn't matter, right? He was content, regardless of which way. He was just content. He was content whether full or hungry. Again, full, satisfied with food or desire, right? To be satisfied, right? I like to go and eat a lunch and be satisfied when I'm done, right? We complain if we go out to eat and we go, that wasn't very satisfying. It cost me $20, right? We all know what that means. We all know what that looks like. He was happy. He was content, whether full or to hunger, to suffer want, crave fervently. I don't know each of your situations, but I know one of the more humbling things in our life was when we were early married and I decided I wanted to start a music business, and we did. And I wasn't smart enough to keep my other job until the music business had took off. I just quit and went, I think this will be good. Didn't understand a whole lot back then. And we had people, and we, I don't know, three or four kids, whatever it was at that point in time, one on the way, maybe three, one on the way, however it was working out. And I remember the first time we came home and somebody had left groceries on our porch. And that was very humbling to me. And I thought, wow, you know, it was nice, but I almost didn't enjoy it because I hadn't learned to be trusting in God and realizing that that was part of his provision. Somebody, he allowed somebody to bless us with that, you know, and in our struggle, you know, as a husband, as a dad with kids, all I could think of a lot of times was, I'm not providing, right? And most of you men here would kind of understand that. We take, I should say, great pride, I would hope, in being able to provide for our families. And when you're not doing that, when you get groceries set on your front porch, it's a reminder that you're not doing what God has instilled in me to do. But yet God was caring for us and to be content in all things. Full or hungry, content with plenty or in need, he says, to abound, to have an abundant amount, right? Again, back up to that abounding, to be in a privileged condition, to have an abundant amount, or to be in need, to be wanting or lacking. Paul had become what the writer of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Paul understood that. He understood his trust was in the Lord, and to be content, knowing that God's not going to leave him. One of the things I learned from the groceries was that God never left us. Despite stupid decisions, right? My wife goes, I don't know if it was all that stupid. Well, she's such an encourager. And I look, no, that was kind of a dumb idea, right? And I should have, you know, I can look back on it and go, what if I would have kept my job and did this on the part-time, built the business the way you should do it, and just young in stupidity. But you know what? I got a God that lets us live through our stupidity and our silliness and our decisions that aren't always the best made. And sometimes you look at Paul and you think, oh, that guy never made a bad decision, right? What a master of faith. I don't think that's true. I think we read the good things that he did. We read what he's learned, but I think he had to go through the trials to get there. And he had to go through some things where he went, whoops, right? And God, he learned that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear, right? What can God do to me? What an awesome reminder for us as we go. Paul knew God was with him regardless, and I need to do that. As partnering with God, I need to have that mentality. I'm the partner that's not as brilliant as he is, but he allows me to work with him. And this week, the students at school gave us a very nice party. They fed as well, and they just came together quietly. I don't know how you get 200 kids to keep their mouths shut, but they did. And you know, and sometimes there's, I know that there's conflict within the student body over how things are done and how things are going. You can't get 200 kids together and not have some conflict, right? But at the same token, for us as a staff, it was so sweet of them. And all they wanted to do was tell us thank you for what we did. And it was a wonderful thing. When we partnership with God, we get some joys. We get that love with him as well. Contentment comes when we know that with Christ we can do all things. What has God called you to do? What has God put you in positions to do? You know, you get some rewards, the students reward. We don't do it for the reward of a thank you. We do it because that's where God has put us. I'm at Frontier because God sent us to Frontier. And he gave me this church body to be a part of. And the blessings that God has given us, right? And you too, as well. But it's because we partner with God, because we're all where God wants us to be. I repeat a lot of times to students the thought process. I can tell you what God's will is for your life. And they kind of look at you like, huh? I go, yeah, he wants you to be his witness, right? That's basically what he wants us to be. Go out, preach the word, preach the gospel, be his witness to the world around you. I said, this trial's become then, if you're walking with him and you're doing all that you know to do, you're right where God wants you to be. I can guarantee that because he says he guides the steps of the righteous. And if I'm trying my best to follow him, then I'm right where he wants me to be. Good, bad, indifferent. But tomorrow that might change. He might direct your steps in a different path. And to have the courage to go to those different paths and to walk in that knowledge of him and understanding that, oh, the circumstance that happened to me today is guiding my steps for tomorrow. And Paul understood that, and that's how come he could be content. He understood, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, right? And so he did. So he wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, if you remember, he wrote about the thorn in the flesh which he had. And he asked God, this is mighty Paul, asking God three times to take that away, right? And God says, no. Right? God said, no. I can just put myself, I like to put myself in characters with my personality. And I go, if I was Paul, what would I have done? I would have went, do you know who I am? I'm your faithful servant. How am I going to get to go this when I got this thorn in my flesh, whatever it may be, whatever it might be causing me? How can I do what you want me to do? And God says, huh? Right? And he reminds Paul this in that process. He writes in 2 Corinthians 12. I like to look it up because I get it wrong if I don't. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. He writes this after, as he says, and Christ said to him, is what he's saying here. And he said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. The contentment of partnering with God, when he takes everything away from me and makes me rely on him, I'm strong. I'm strong. Thirdly, verses 14 through 17, partnering with God involves partnering with other believers. Right? 14 and 17. Back to Philippians 4. He writes this, nevertheless, okay? Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you, Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Partnering with God involves partnering with other believers. I've got a little parenthesis in my note that says, we are in this together. Right? Your part is as crucial as any other part here in the gospel. Right? Some of you kids are heading out for the summer. Some of you are heading out to begin whatever life holds ahead of you. Understand, you're still a partner with God. He's going to take you places. He's going to do something. We're still in this together because it's bigger than Mitchell E. Free. The gospel is bigger than this little area we have, our town. But we're responsible for the areas. You guys are going to new areas, and you're responsible for wherever God sends you to do the same thing, to take the gospel and partner with whoever you partner with and work hard. Some of you are going to go back to your churches, and you're going to get opportunities to teach. You're going to get opportunities to share the love of Christ with wherever God puts you, sends you, and do things. Do it well, right? That's to the kids over here, right? But all of us in general, right? That's our mission, right? We need to go from here this week out into the world, into your little circle, your little clusters that God gives you, right? You all have your friends group. You have multiple friend groups a lot of times. And all those little rings join together through you, right? But to go and partner with God in that and be his witness and to share. Paul is thankful for the Philippians' support of him. When you see somebody on the street, if you see one of us on the street in Walmart or wherever, can you think of an encouragement? Can you walk up to people and go, it's good to see you. How's God doing for you this week? Things going all right? Can I pray for you for something? And being able to do that. And maybe other Christians out there that you know or people of faith, or maybe it's somebody that God just puts in front of you and that friend, and they just need to know, hey, how's it going? Let me tell you what God has done. Let me see if I can help. Let me offer. See, Paul is thankful for the Philippians' support of him. They were behind-the-scenes supporters of Paul's ministry at his work in Macedonia. They shared when others were not. Okay? Don't ever think that, somebody else is going to encourage them today. Okay? That's not necessarily true. You might be the only encouragement somebody's going to get. And so fulfill your mission. Fulfill what God has put in front of you. Continue to give. They continued to give when Paul was at Thessalonica. Paul's focus wasn't on himself, but for the others who partnered with him. Paul's joy was knowing that the fruit which came from their giving was credited to their account with God. Right? Understanding that kind of thing. Again, as a missionary, understanding it's a privilege that they support me because it's accounted to their account. Right? That's pretty cool thought process. Paul understood that. And finally, partnering with God is knowing it is not in vain. Right? You go through each day and you think, am I making a difference? Right? As a teacher at school, there are days where you go, am I even making a difference? That's what made the other night special, is they told us we made a difference. But that, in the midst of it, some days you just go And you get there and you think, I had that all prepared and that didn't go anything like I wanted it to. And it really wasn't all that hip or whatever. Am I making a difference in their lives? Are they growing? Are they learning? Am I doing anything? As a pastor, I used to have the same things. Is anybody in our church growing from what I'm doing from Sunday to Sunday? You get these thoughts a lot. And partnering in God is knowing that it's not in vain. Look what he says in 18 and 19 here of this chapter. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, partnering with God is knowing it's not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58, one of my favorite verses, I've memorized this one, says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay? Oh, but I'm not doing that much. It's not in vain. Do it. Okay? God didn't give me this big platform. It don't matter. Take your little platform. Go. It's not in vain. It's abound in where God has set you. Abound where he has put you. Partner with him. In the Philippians gift provided Paul for his need, and it was a plentiful gift, but Paul wrote, indeed, I have all and abound and in full. Right? Your little bit. And again, as a missionary, here's what I've learned. People give $20, right? That's not much in today's society, but it is to a missionary. I'll guarantee you, $20 is a lot, right? The Philippians gift for Paul's need, and it was a plentiful gift. Paul wrote, indeed, I have all and abound and am full. They met a physical need, but Paul understood what it cost them, right? Paul reminds them how God views their partnership. It was a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. As I sit here and I read that, I think of this gal from our home church who weekly, I think, she sends us a letter every week. She's not able to financially support us. But she sends these little note cards in her letter of encouragement to us every single week. And I think, wow. You know, the dedication she has to find these things, put them in an envelope, put our name on it, put it in a mailbox, and make sure we get it every week. What a sacrifice. And she's an older lady, and that's what I think Paul is talking about. It's a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. It's not dollars and cents always. It's little encouragements. It's things that mean a lot. Partnership with God, being all in the gospel mission. God is well-pleased. What can we do to be a partner with God? How's God using you? And what are you allowing God to do through you to partner with him? That's the idea here. God will reward your partnership by reciprocating the act back to you. Right? You give, our God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. It's not a one-for-one deal, right? You get these faiths out there that, oh, if I give 10, God's going to give me 200. I'll be good. Right? That's not what he's talking about. It's the eternal reward, and it's the joy of again, I hope this gal that sends us a letter is as blessed as anybody that supports us financially. I hope that she feels that God is blessing her in that way, and I think she does. Our God will supply all your needs according. People often claim this verse, but they only want to take the verse. This verse is directly related to your partnership with God. Right? They only want to take, but that's not what this verse is about. It's about a partnership. It's about working with God and doing what he wants. If you're giving only to receive, you've missed the point. Right? It's not even partnership with missionaries. It's not partnership with friends. It's a partnership with God and just being faithful to what God has called you to do. If it's sending a little note of encouragement, if it's sending a text to somebody going, just wanted to see how you're going, how you're doing today, and praying for you, wanting to see what God is up to. Remember, it's not a one-way street. It's not only God giving, but it is us being willing to let our monies, possessions, our personalities, whatever it is, our abilities, to partner with Him, right? To just love God. To love God with what we have to give. Right? Paul closes the letter in 20 and 23. He writes this, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Mine. See, to God be forever, to be glory forever and ever. That's the thing. Right? It's what we do, how we partner with God is not for us. It's that others might see the glory of God in what we do and how we help. And then you finally get the greeting to the people. So partnering with God is a part of having a conduct that is walking worthy of the gospel. When you are in partnership with God, He may ask you to go. He may ask you to be involved in sending. Either way, we need to understand that God's desire for us to be a faithful partners in the gospel, that we are looking for ways to see the gospel go forth for the glory of God. So may we be found faithful partners in Christ. And that closes up Philippians. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the book that we just went through. May it produce fruit in our lives as we learn to walk worthy of the gospel, knowing it's everything we do is not about us, but it's about you, that others might see you through our lives, and others might come to know you that don't know you through our acts of kindness and our love. So we thank you for these things in your Son's name. Amen.